The book of Colossians. We continue our study. The theme of the study is, of course, more. And today is another one of those challenges. The idea, the goal of this study is that we settle not for mediocrity, but that we be all we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of the sermon today is Passion or the Passion. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for your guidance today as we examine your word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you've prepared for us. Glorify your great name. Give us understanding and help us to respond to your message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. I start with this question today. Are you passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, kind of. I had to ask myself that question as I was preparing this message. Okay? The question, Doug, where's your passion? Are you passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I don't care who you are, there comes times, you know, when you're just not as passionate as you once were. Just not as fired up as you once were. And today, I hope that this reminds us all that there must be a passion in what we're doing from the pulpit to the pew. And if we're not passionate, why not? Why are we not passionate? And what do you have to do to get that passion back? And we start with understanding passion. That there is a price for passion. Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body. That word suffering, when Paul said, I rejoice in my suffering, that word suffering, the Greek word is pathema. It's where we get the word passion from. Literally, Paul says, I rejoice in my passion for you. Now, passion or suffering that Paul is talking about here is, of course, the affliction that comes from doing something that you love. Something that you have such a great desire for. And the price that you pay as you pursue that great love. Paul said he rejoiced to fill up in the flesh that which was lacking in the afflictions of Jesus Christ. Understand, when Paul said that which is lacking in the afflictions of Jesus Christ, he's not saying that Jesus didn't suffer quite enough so he had to suffer. But rather, the afflictions that he's talking about there are the afflictions that have been appointed to him. When Paul was first converted, he was told that he must suffer many things because of his faith. Jesus told his disciples, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Understand, if you're going to be passionate about something, there is a price to be paid for that passion. Okay? It goes right along. We're all football fans, right? Come on, men. We're football fans, right? Pretty much. I like a good football game. I enjoy it. But it really doesn't make sense. And I'm not talking about the rules or the object of the game. That's not what I'm talking about. But you look at these guys. Why do they play that game? Because it's hard. I mean, you know, if they get out there and they suffer broken bones and concussions and broken legs and knee problems and ankle problems and all this other, and you think, well, why do you do that? I have figured it out. It's because they love the pain. No. No, it's not because they love the pain. As a matter of fact, I'm sure if they could avoid the pain, they would. But it's because they love the game. I mean, I'm sure there are some of those, that are many of those, perhaps, that are in it for the money. But there are some guys that just keep playing and playing, and you think, why does that guy stay in the ball game? You know, why does he keep playing football? He's been in the NFL for 20 years. The guy's surely got enough money by now, right? He just loves the game. And the reason that he loves the game is because he can see in his future. He has this vision of the Super Bowl. And walking off the field of the Super Bowl, victorious champions, and getting that big Super Bowl ring. And it's just that feeling of victory that gives him that passion. When Paul said he rejoiced in his sufferings, he was not rejoicing in the pain and the hardship and the stoning and the jailing and everything like that. He knew what it was to win spiritually. You see, Paul knew what it was to see a sinner come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that is good stuff. Paul knew what it was to establish a church that would stand against the wiles of the devil. He knew what it meant to be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point that when he died, he knew where he was going. And he knew it was a reward, not a punishment. Paul knew why he was fighting. Therefore, he was willing to pay the price. Now let's talk about you and I today. I go back to the question at the beginning. Are you passionate? If not, why not? I mean, let's refocus today just a little bit. Because I believe passion is what modern day Christianity is missing. We want to be part of a growing church. Amen? Are you passionate about serving in your growing church? Well, sometimes it gets hard, Brother Doug. There's a price to be paid for everything. I'm excited that there were two souls baptized today, aren't you? I mean, that's good stuff. I'm excited that the Lord is adding to families and giving us the opportunity to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's good stuff. I'm excited that Sunday school is growing. I'm excited that people are responding to the gospel. I'm excited to see those victories in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that does not just happen. You have to have people who are willing to pay the price. People who are willing to teach Sunday school classes. People who are willing to serve on committees. People who are willing, even when it's hard, to pay the price, so that Victory Missionary Baptist Church can really experience victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is the passion. When you start, and there's just something about it. When you start paying the price, you become passionate. Do you know why I'm not a marathon runner? Well, yeah, Brother Doug, you're old and fat. That's not why. It's because I'm not willing to pay the price. Think about it. I'm not willing to pay the price. If we're not successful in the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be because God failed. It'll be because we were not willing to do the hard things that would bring victory to this church. I challenge you. Let's be passionate about what God has set before us. Second thing, let's take a look at the people of our passion. It all starts with the mystery that Paul wrote about here. That had been hidden from past generations and past ages. Something secret had not been revealed to a lot of people. Don't you understand? See, this is where it gets exciting for you and me. There's a secret. We like secrets, right? Oh, come on. We like secrets. What is one of the things we really like about secrets? I don't know about you, but I like to tell them. Now everybody's going to think, that pastor, I'm not telling him nothing. I will keep it private. But I'm talking about those things that you didn't know, a secret that's good news. Yeah. That when you find out, you just really want to share. Not because it's you know something bad about someone, but that you know something good, something great. And that's what Paul is talking about here, about this mystery. He said there in verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. Do you realize we know what the Old Testament people didn't know? We know something that a lot of people before Jesus Christ never understood. And we should be excited about what is it we know. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Christ in you. That religious talking. No. Think about what it means. I mean, he says it in verse 27. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, here's where it gets really good. In ages past, Jews would have looked at you and said, you're not worthy of God. Because you are of the wrong race. You're an old Gentile. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. A Jew of ages past would have looked at this congregation and said, I'm sorry, but you're not of the right race. You have no worth or no claim to God. He would look over here and said, I'm sorry, but y'all eat the wrong foods. You're ceremonial unclean because you eat the wrong things. He would look over here and he would say, you have committed sin. You have committed adultery. You've been sexually impure. And therefore you have no right to even approach this mighty God of the Jews. But here's the secret. Christ in you. That you can come through Jesus Christ, the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you have an avenue that you can go before a holy and pure Almighty God. You can go into His presence. You get that? Isn't that good? I mean, if you were issued an invitation to go see the President of the United States, unless, you know, and we're not talking about politics, but you received an invitation to go see the President of the United States, what would you do? Boy, you'd put on your best, you'd get excited. Let's go! God has said, here's your invitation through the blood of Jesus Christ to go before the God creator of this universe. Who are you to receive such an invitation? You're nobody. But praise God, once you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus moves in and He takes over your life. Or that's the way it's supposed to work, right? It's about Jesus living through you. Can you imagine? Jesus lives in you if you're a child of God. Chew on that just a minute. I do not understand all the ramifications of that. I can't imagine that the Son of God even wants to indwell and live in and through me little more than He does. Oh, friends. See, this was the revelation for the century for the Apostle Paul, because his background was, he was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He would have looked at us and said, you have no place with God. And now Paul in Colossians 1:28 tells us, Him we preach, Jesus, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul was so excited about it. Before, he would not have even spoken to a Gentile. Now he's so excited about it, he can't keep quiet. He says, we preach, teach every man. You know what that word every man means? It means every kind of man. Black, white, red, yellow. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in His sight. So Paul declared it. It was like, this is so good. I cannot keep it to myself. He said that I may present every man again. The same, every kind of man perfect in Christ Jesus. That word perfect means complete. You know what's wrong with the world today? We are living in a world with incomplete people. When Paul said, talked about being complete, he's talking about that individual who goes before Jesus Christ to receive the forgiveness of sin. Do you understand what Jesus can do? I mean, think about it. You want to know why we're not passionate? Because we don't believe Jesus can do it anymore. Oh, no, Brother Doug, I still believe. If you really believe you can make a difference, that Jesus can make a difference, we'd act differently. I mean, yeah. Do you know that Jesus can fix the heart of that abusive husband? Do you know somebody who abuses his wife? What are you doing about it? Well, Brother Doug, I say we just gather up a bunch of other men, go whoop the guy and straighten him out, right? Okay, that's a pretty good idea, I'll admit. But it's not the best. How about if we go and take Jesus to him? Because Jesus can change that heart. Right? Jesus can transform that life. Do you realize? For the alcoholic, what do you do with the alcoholics that you encounter? I don't know about you, but I avoid them. You have never had fun until you spend an hour with a drunk person. I'm being sarcastic. They talk, and then if you see them tomorrow, they won't remember what they told you. But did you know that God can transform? I mean, that Jesus can transform that alcoholic? That He can make a difference. He can change that heart. What about the drug addict? Jesus can transform that drug addict into a good, useful individual. And you can name any sin, whether it's a sexual sin, whether it's a sin of omission, a sin of commission. It doesn't matter. Jesus can change a life. What has happened in our country is we don't believe Jesus can anymore. And we're wrong. He can deliver the alcoholic, rescue the sex addict. He can reform the drug addict. Therein is our passion. That's when we realize we've got really good news. Okay? When we look at those people who are lost in their sin and whatever that sin may be, and we've got the answer, that's when we realize we can be passionate in getting them the answer. See, that's where we're failing. That's where our passion is lost. God can't do anything for him. Yes, He can. He can make that man complete. You see, that's why we're not passionate. Because we truly don't think Jesus can. And I want to tell you, please listen to me. Jesus can do anything today He did 6,000 years ago. He has not changed. We may have changed, but not our great God. Listen. We've got to get that passion back. Where we're excited about Jesus. Not just excited about a church, not just excited about some ministry or some program, but just down to earth excited about what Jesus can do. Because He still can. And then we've got to apply it. We've got to learn to apply our passion. Paul said, to this end, I also labor, there in verse 29, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. To this end, I labor and strive. Those two words reflect both, have a lot the same meaning. They mean to work hard and to make every effort you can possibly make to get the job done. That's what Paul's saying. I'm doing whatever it takes, is what Paul says. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And listen, I'll tell you again. What you work at, you'll be passionate about. Why? Because you've got a personal investment. Okay? I have discovered something. If I invest myself into something, I care about it. Whether it's money, whether it's time, my effort, whatever I'm investing my life in, that is what I care about and am passionate about. And that's the way Paul was. He was doing everything he could possibly do. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. It says this, "For though I'm free," Paul's writing, "though I'm free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law," not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, "that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might win by all means, save some." What's Paul saying? He's saying, "I'm doing whatever it takes." You know what? You want to get the passion? Do what it takes. Do what it takes. I said in the beginning, I said, "You know why?" I said, "I'm not a marathon runner? Because I'm not willing to do what it takes." Today I want to ask you, are you willing to do what it takes to be passionate about Jesus Christ? Are you willing to teach that children's class? Are you willing to keep that nursery? Are you willing to be faithful in church? You know, a church attendance shouldn't be a sporadic thing. Okay? You want to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to bring them to church. You have to bring them to church. And that's not just for preaching on Sunday morning. That's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Get those kids in youth group. Let Brother Michael teach them. Get those kids here on Sunday night. Because, listen, they are exposed in the world 6 days during the week. Teachers. And the rest of the world have your kids Monday through Friday. And you can bet they're trying to influence your children. Now listen, I don't say it. We have a lot of good teachers. But we also have some that are not so good. Okay? If you're going to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, pay the price. Be willing to pay the price. Won't be easy to show them that Jesus is the priority. Won't be easy to tell them no. You know, as parents, you know what our great failure is? We don't want to tell our children no. I understand that because I have grandchildren. And when my grandkids ask me, it is really hard for me to form that word. Well, they can't say no. Unless they're hurting themselves. Now, if they're about to hurt themselves, boy, I'll come run. I say, "No, don't you do that." You see, we have to realize how important what we're doing is. As we look at our kids, as we look at our culture, as we look at our society, man, we've got to run, say no. 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 Tell your kids, "No, we're going to church." Tell your friends, "No, you don't want to get involved in that." Tell them the message of the love of God, which is Christ in you. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that nobody can fire me up. I'm talking about making me passionate. That I have to do that. And beloved, you're the one that's going to have to do that. Paul, in writing to young Timothy, he told Timothy how to do it. Here's how you do it. You want to get fired? You want to be passionate? Here's how you do it. "Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Stir up the gift of God That word stir, interesting word. It's a fire word. It means to fan the flames. Let's be honest. Every once in a while, everybody's flame gets a little low. Amen? We are. And preachers, same way. But what do? Beloved, we have to fan the flame. We have to decide, hey, you know what? I don't like not being passionate. I don't like wallowing in the pond of mediocrity. I don't like being lukewarm. Lord, You're the same God, so it's me that is moved. So Lord, I just call upon You and I pray to fan the flame today. I make up my mind that Lord, I'm not half-hearted. I want to declare the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Fan the flame. And you know how to fan the flame? You start living it. Start living it. Go tell people, those people that you've been putting off. You know they need Jesus Christ and Jesus has laid it upon your heart, but you've been putting it off and you're afraid to talk to Him. Listen, go talk to Him. It'll be okay. They will not stone you today. Now we may come to the time where they will, but today they won't. But Brother Doug, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Listen, the worst thing in the world you can do is nothing. Because I promise you, one of these days, if they lift up their eyes in hell, their only question for you would be, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You see, we have to understand our passion. There's a limit. We're on a time limit. Okay? Time is running out. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to rapture us. We're leaving this world. We don't know if we've got 10 minutes or 10 years. But Jesus is coming. This time is the time that God has blessed you with, given you with. Are you passionate? Are you pursuing your passion? Are you paying the price? My prayer is that as you pursue your passion in Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel and serving faithfully, that the tougher it gets, the more determined you become. Are you that way? Are you that way? Or are you a quitter? I pray that you'll be passionate. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you the best news. That is, Jesus Christ is for you. You know that? Jesus Christ is for you. And there's a lot of people who think, well, you know, I don't think He's for me. I don't think it's religious thing for me. Listen, Jesus is for you. You've not been too bad. You're not from the wrong family. You're not from the wrong group. Jesus is for you. He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Amen. So that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You're a prayer away from an eternity in heaven. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you know the fire is just not there like it was. Ball's in your court. Time to fan the flame. Fan the flame up here at this altar. Time for rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is, I just challenge you. You come and you listen to Jesus and respond as Jesus leads. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, that Your gospel message is for every man everywhere. And now, Lord, I pray that You'll move among us freely. That, Lord, Your will be done in this service, that will give us a heart to respond. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about who we are and what we are in You. Help us, Lord, to carry the gospel wherever we go. To be faithful as Your servants. Help us, Lord, to honor You with this life that You've given. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.